Hi, I'm Skip Nipper. Welcome to my podcast, where I tell you about Nashville's great baseball history and traditions.
Shot to right, a one-hop liner.
Certainly about its past, especially about Tom Wilson Park, Herschel Greer Stadium, Sulphur Dell, but also a little bit about its present and future, too.
Yes, he can, and makes the waist-high catch.
And I introduce you to players, coaches, and other fans, and their love for everything baseball.
A high fly ball down the right field corner going way back, hits a leadoff home run.
Nashville's ball club won the first two Southern Association championships in 1901 and 1902, and then fell on hard times for the next five seasons, finishing 5th, 5th, 7th, 7th, and 8th at the very bottom of the league. But in 1908, the team returned to its winning ways in a tight pennant race that went down to the final game. Now, Newt Fisher, owner and manager who helped form the league in 1900 with Charlie Frank of Memphis and Abner Powell of New Orleans, led the club until the 1905 season when he sold it, and he brought in Mike Finn to manage the rest of the season and 1906. And in 1907, Johnny Dobbs was called on to lead the club, but his team only won 59 games, and he was let go. Although he would manage for over 20 years in the league and even win a pennant with New Orleans as early as 1915. Yes, on December the 31st, 1907, 35-year-old Bill Bernhardt is named as manager of the Nashville Baseball Club. Strawberry Bill, they called him. He had pitched for the Philadelphia Phillies and the Cleveland Indians beginning as early as 1899, but he retired at the end of the 1907 season with a major league record of 116-81, and that hire on December the 31st set in motion a chase for the 1908 pennant. However, there were a few other things that happened that helped to set the foundation of Nashville baseball that year. On January the 14th, 1908, in his Nashville Tennessean column, sports writer Grantland Rice referred to the local ballpark as Sulphur Spring Dell, and in subsequent columns, Rice shortened it to Sulphur Dell, and fans and players adopted it when referring to their beloved ballpark. A month later, on February the 16th, Cleveland announced that he will have two farm clubs in 1908, Toledo, managed by Bill Armour, and Nashville, managed by Bill Bernhardt. And while I'm not sure it helped bolster the ball club, it may have been a sign of future affiliations and, if nothing else, came as a sign the Cleveland club gave newly retired Bill and Nashville its blessing. Now, Grantland Rice was back at it on February the 29th when he announced the results of a Name the Team contest in the Tennessean. There were 950 votes cast for volunteers in the contest, with the two other options, Rocks and Lime Rocks, with volunteers far outdistancing the others by the voters' final choice. On April the 20th, 1908, Nashville and Montgomery played to a 3-3 tie in front of 4,000 fans before the umpires stopped the game due to darkness. It was the home opener for Nashville at Sulphur Dell. The Vols banged out 14 hits to only 6 by the Senators, but neither team could score after the ninth inning. There was a scary moment when Montgomery third baseman Ed Grimminger hit a foul ball down the left field line that police officer Fate Allen did not have time to get out of the way of, and it knocked him down, noting that it was the first time he'd ever been knocked out. But it was the home opener for Nashville, and the season was a seesaw battle, and four teams jumped out to the front: Nashville, New Orleans, Montgomery, and Memphis. And, of course, Nashville was a surprise contender, having finished so poorly in 1907. And after Montgomery dropped out of the race with 3 weeks left in the season, Memphis was eliminated. As if to add excitement to Nashville's run to potential pennant, on September the 10th, 1908, Nashville hurler Johnny Dugan, who would lead the club with 19 wins against 12 losses, pitches a no-hitter with a 1-0 shutout over Little Rock at Sulphur Dell. Now, the schedule called for Nashville and New Orleans to meet in the last series of the year, and going into the final game, New Orleans led by a 1/2-game lead, and they needed only one win to capture the pennant. But Nashville won, giving the teams an apparent tie. However, the Pelicans had played two more games with one win and one loss more than Nashville, and the Vols had a better winning percentage, 573-571, and Nashville claimed the pennant. Grantland Rice witnessed the final game, played in Nashville Sulphur Dale before over 10,000 people, and he recorded it in the newspaper and in the 1909 Spalding Guide when he wrote, "The notable epidemic of close finishes, which struck Baldwin in 1908, played its part in the Southern campaign upon a par with that of the two big league windups. By the margin of a triple better than one decimal point, one run, the pennant fight was decided at sunset upon the final day of the battle, as close a finish as the keenest mathematician could possibly figure out, or the most ardent fanatic dream would ever come to pass. When the series opened, both teams had lost the same number of games, but New Orleans boasted one more victory. The final three-game series of the season found them face-to-face, New Orleans half a game in the lead, but fighting on Nashville soil. This meager margin meant that the winning club must win two games of the series. New Orleans, with Bill Bartley facing manager Bernhard, won the opening contest, but they were all even, practically, as the end of the second day's fighting when Johnny Dugan for Nashville downed Bill Phillips, the pitcher for New Orleans. The ballpark was crowded to its utmost capacity on the final day when young Vetter Sitton, just out of the South Atlantic League, he came to Nashville in August, was called upon to meet the veteran Theodore Breitenstein, who has just finished the most remarkable year he had ever known in the league. For six innings, neither team could score. So effective was the pitching and defensive play of both teams. But with two out in the seventh and the weak end of the Nashville batting list up, the unexpected happened, and two scratch singles in a row put over the only run. Doc Wiseman drove in the winning run in the memorable battle. Sitton stuck to the end, developing power as the game progressed and winning a deserved battle in which McElveen, Wiseman, and others starred with effect. The game that was played on September the 19th, 1908, would forever be known as the greatest game ever played in Dixie, as Grantland Rice called it. Now, as you might expect, there was some controversy over the final standings, as Nashville had a 75-56 record and New Orleans a 76-57 record. But in the end, Nashville was indeed awarded the championship, making it a remarkable year in coming from last to first place in one season. And perhaps just as remarkable was that no Nashville player, including Jake Daubert, who would go on to a 15-year major league career, including leading the National League with batting titles in 1913 and 1914, nor future major league players Harry Bay, Kid Butler, Pryor McElveen, any of them hit for an average over 300 during that 1908 season. Now, Bernhard will manage Nashville for three seasons, continuing to pitch, and he left the Vols after the 1910 season, moving to Memphis and managing there for three seasons from 1911 to 1913. And then he returned to active pitching in Salt Lake City in 1914 and Chattanooga in the Southern Association in 1915. And after being out of baseball for 2 years, he returned to Salt Lake City as a manager in 1916 and retired from pro ball in 1917. Now, ending on a sad note, I think it's important to finish telling Jake Daubert's story. After nine seasons with Brooklyn, beginning in 1910, after that remarkable 1908 season in Nashville, on February the 1st, 1919, the Dodgers traded the former Nashville first baseman to the Cincinnati Reds. And Daubert, who was the 1913 National League Most Valuable Player with Brooklyn, will play six seasons with the Reds and lead the league in games played with 140 in 1919 and 156 in 1922. But on October the 9th of 1924, he passed away after disobeying his doctor's orders and playing in Cincinnati's last game of the season in New York, dying from complications of an appendectomy performed the week before. Daubert had a .303 lifetime batting average and is one of the National League's early iron men I believe he should be in baseball's Hall of Fame. Now, it was a magical 1900 season. It was the third Southern Association championship for the Nashville Ball Club in the first 8 years of the league. And it would be 1920 before Nashville would win another one. And then there would be a long drought before Larry Gilbert came to town to manage the Vols. I hope you enjoyed listening about the 1908 greatest game ever played in Dixie in the season that year, and also a little bit about Jake Daubert.